Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig. We're at the Yow West Conference in Perth, and what better place to get two Brisbane people on the complete opposite side of the country. Welcome, Brian McCurgo.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Craig.
Great to see you. We used to work together way back when in Brisbane a few years ago. In fact, you were saying to me yesterday that the first time we met was on a one-day Taste of Agile course. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It was my literally second day at Suncorp as a baby graduate. We went through the Taste of Agile game and the whole training, really, and went through the Lego game. So, yeah, I was just reflecting on that yesterday as how we actually met.
Now, look at you now. You're at conferences speaking about Agile concepts. So we created a monster or something along those lines.
Apparently, yeah, we have.
So I take basically full responsibility for sitting on your Agile.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, it works for me. Yeah. So you are a business analyst primarily?
My background is business analysis. More recently, I've been moving into kind of iteration manager roles and doing a little bit of agile coaching where I'm currently consulting at Monash University.
And iteration management, for those who aren't in Australia, is the opposite of Scrum Master.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a very Australian term because we weren't affected by the whole Scrum thing early on, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Kind of, we've reflected before about where the term has come about and it seems to be the very early days of agile adoption in Australia.
Absolutely, the more hybrid approach. Yeah. So you've been around for a few years. I mean, why business analysis? What I think one of the reasons I actually wanted to get you on the podcast is that, we talk to lots of developer folks and I've got a testing side, but business analysis is one of those roles where I think if you're in a large corporate, you understand what it is. You talk to some developers in particularly tech-centric organizations and they go, "What do I need them?"
Yep.
So firstly, I mean, what attracted you to business analysis in the first place?
I kind of fell into business analysis. When I was studying at university, I made the very fortunate choice of picking a degree that was a hybrid between business and IT. Mm-hmm. I knew from early stages that as much as I would have liked to be smart enough to be a developer, I wasn't.
I didn't make that decision.
Yeah. landed in a course that kind of did a blend, and then through that started to realise, hey, there's this role called a business analyst, and I was like, great, well, that seems to play to my strengths, and like talking to people when I feel like it, and really trying to problem solve together with people. From that degree, landed up at Suncorp, where they literally put me into a business analysis role from day one, and kind of haven't looked back since.
And Suncorp, for those aren't listening, was a very is a very early agile adopter, but a large bank insurance company in Australia. Agile, I guess you got infected by that by day one.
Exactly.
When did you study? What was your, what years were you at university? So the
late 2000s.
Yeah.
When I was there, yeah.
So was there anything in the way of agile when you went through then?
Absolutely nothing, which is really disappointing.
Was it an eye-opener when you turned up to a large corporate? Do you remember what you were expecting? Did you come in? Because I remember you coming in as a graduate. And I think sometimes when I came in, it was expected that it was this big, all the way through university, you learned how to write assignments. Of course, you'd be doing big documentation. But I think as we've got more mature, I see a lot of graduates now come in and go, well, isn't that the way everyone would work?
Yeah.
Do you recall your thoughts?
For me, it was brand new. I think just going through the training and starting to learn more about it and kind of trying to learn as much about it as I could, particularly in the first couple of years, it just made a lot of sense for me. Like, I always didn't like writing big reports and really wondered who would ever read them. And I even went through the experience of, before I started at Suncorp, I did a project for a small company where I effectively wrote a business specification document because I knew no better going to university, and that's kind of what they brainwash you with. So going to Suncorp and learning about Agile was really an eye-opener, for the better. It just makes a lot of sense, actually talking to people about what we want to build and kind of losing that professional facade and just relating to people as people, and we're here to do a common job, not to kind of compete with each other. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah. So you're currently with Elaborate.
That's right.
Who is Elaborate?
Elaborate is now almost 6 years old, and it started with three directors who all had a background in business analysis, and that's kind of where our grassroots are, is business analysis. But we wanted to be different, you know, being much more pragmatic, approachable, and relational consulting company. So from there, we realized that a lot of our consultants and myself, when I joined 3 years ago, had an agile background, and so we started pitching ourselves as business analysts on agile projects, and then we've gone much more into providing iteration managers or scrum masters, agile coaches, and now really starting to get more involved with taking some of the organizations that haven't adopted it yet, but starting to take them on their kind of agile journey.
Mm. So for those who are listening, as I said, the business analysis is one of those things that we understood. Firstly, how do you define a business analyst? I mean, what do you do? What do you tell your mum or some random person at a barbecue when they say, what do you do?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I explain it in the way that I work with business people to understand what is the problem that they want to solve, and then work with developers to actually take their expectations are and build that into an actual system or website. That's the really kind of barbecue version of a business analyst.
So the natural thing is, because when you explain that, if anyone's seen the movie Office Space, for example, you sound like the guy that takes the paper from here and moves it over here.
Yeah.
It's far more to it than that.
Absolutely.
So what skill sets do you bring?
Yeah, sure. So I guess if you use the Office Space example, a lot of people pigeonhole business analysts as writing requirements or writing stories. And I kind of find that the boring part of the job. Mm. The much more exciting part is using techniques and using your skills to be able to get people to engage with each other, to collaborate and really get kind of a mix of different people talking together to, you know, kind of problem solve together, understand what are we trying to achieve, and actually then build it out as software. Mm. So really it's about encouraging collaboration with, you know, business people all through to our developers and actually getting them to talk together. Mm. So in my mind, a good business analyst is not that kind of bridge, or then, you know, they have to be the middle person. Is actually trying to kind of remove themselves of being that person. Mm. Actually trying to get everyone to just talk to each other.
And does it stop there? So once you get people talking and I guess the, for want of a better word, the requirements, but the understanding is a better word I think I want.
Yeah.
And they understand what they need to build, and then you know, the developers and testers toddle off and make that happen.
Yeah.
Does it stop there?
No, so I guess it's about always actively encouraging everyone to talk to each other and really trying to be proactive and looking for those opportunities, you know, where someone says, I've got a question, go, well, someone else probably has a question, and getting the team to work together. And I guess talking to people is just one aspect of it. You know, that's one challenge to kind of overcome with the teams, but really then what a good business analyst can bring to the team is a lot of different techniques that are appropriate for the situation to kind of help everyone get that shared understanding. So using different workshop styles, or, you know, using techniques like Design Studio, where you're developing the wireframes together and getting a shared understanding of what is the actual system interaction like. Or, you know, if I take Paul Rayner's keynote from yesterday, you know, considering we're at Yow West, you're using event storming to kind of think of what are all the different events that go on and what are the trigger points, and, you know, is that a person triggering something in a process, or is that a system, and really trying to get people to understand what actually happens, what happens in our businesses.
I had a real brainwave. I mean, I'd seen event storming before that particular talk, and we've got a separate podcast with Paul here.
Mm.
And I was just, when I was recording the podcast with him earlier today, I said, I'd read about this, it kind of had got put in the back burner somewhere, but the real aha moment I had was its similarity to value stream mapping, which I've always struggled a bit with teams sometimes to, you can get the business involved, but it doesn't really tend to involve the rest of the team. And I think this is a nice way of getting a value stream map or some sort of as-is map, but involve then your journey to the 2B, which I've always found sometimes a bit of a clunk,
yes,
the way I've done it in the past. So That's an experiment I'm taking away from the conference here.
Yeah, excellent.
But your talk here talked about a whole bunch of other techniques. In fact, all the talks I've seen from you over the last sort of year or so have always been practical techniques for business analysts and I guess agile teams in general.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Design Studio. What are some of the other things that you're the techniques that you're using to help business analysis?
So I guess one of the really basic ones that I talk about, and it's kind of really easy for teams to adopt, to kind of, you know, have a starting point if you're not actively talking to each other, or your environment where, like, you've got the experience of being, you know, in an agile environment but you're working in a much more traditional. As I found story kickoffs are a really good starting point. You know, it kind of makes logical sense that once you start development on a story, we'd actually have a conversation about, you know, fulfilling the three C's of one of a story. You know, one of those is a conversation, actually talk about it. You know, and there's that graphic out there or the pitch out there that thinking, you know, I'm doing it wrong if I think that this is a replacement for talking to people. Mm. You know, that meme. So story kickoffs are really as a way to kind of introduce people and just getting everyone on the same page of what we're about to develop. And there's different ways you can do it. What I found has worked really well is get it all the team, your developers, testers, product owner, in front of a whiteboard and actually draw out what the story is going to be about. So, you know, if there's a wireframe, drawing that out. If there's a process flow, drawing that out. And if you do happen to, say, have BDD scenarios and given when then format, then you can even kind of dot point them on the board as well, just to kind of bring yourself out of some sort of virtual tool and kind of into the physical realm.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. So here's my question for you. This is the one I struggle with as an agile coach when I'm going to traditional organizations. I know you've been in some, agile fall or wagile environments yourself recently.
Yep.
The big thing that larger organizations struggle with is they've come from this waterfall approach where they've had their 6 months of upfront analysis, and then we come along with our little agile wand and we say, we're going to be doing things in sprints or Kanban or whatever it is, and we're going to do things more progressively. And the developers, they realize they're not getting their specification, they can get on board with that. And the testers, they're not going to have as much back end and stuff and get them across the line. But I really struggle sometimes with traditional business analysts who are very used to doing this upfront thing. And particularly when you're in a large organization where you have to go and ask 27 people about whether this cost center should be 9213 or 9678. And sort of upfront. So where's the balance? Where do you stop? Because you have to do upfront analysis. So upfront analysis hasn't gone away.
Exactly.
But how do you balance that? And how do you track that when the rest of the team is trying to chug through an iteration or other cards in the flow at the same time?
Yeah, sure. So I guess my ideal state is that you reduce that amount of time between analysis and development as much as possible. But obviously working in traditional organizations, they're much more used to longer lead times. So kind of where I've had to adapt and think about how do I progress to that ideal state is, I guess in a sense, doing upfront analysis on stories. And I like to use a guideline of, you know, at most one sprint ahead, but then sometimes you're taking into cases where they need longer lead time than that. And so it's about really having conversations to understand why do they need longer lead time than that. And I guess, you know, sometimes you are put in a position where you do have to go longer than that, and you do then have to recognize that the more upfront analysis you do, and the further away you do it from development, the more likely you're going to introduce waste, because you're going to be doing rework on analysis because decisions change all throughout projects. And so something you decide 3 months ago might be completely different to what you're going to do today. So that's some of the conversations that I have when working with more traditional places, is highlighting that, yes, we're going to be doing, you know, larger upfront analysis, but we are actually introducing waste, and we're being, you know, I'm going to have to rework this later, and that's going to be wasteful. And I guess it's looking for little opportunities along the way on how can you reduce that, or how can you try and shift the kind of environment to reduce the lead time.
And can you do that by tracking metrics, or is it just a gut feel?
Yeah, for me, it's probably more of a gut feel. I guess other ways that I've tried to kind of incorporate developers and testers and bring them along the journey is, you know, when we are doing upfront analysis, is hold workshops with them and include them earlier in the piece, and at least they've got some upfront visibility of what's going to be coming their way. So, you know, we'll, you know, as it, taking the example of a design studio workshop, we'll, where I was working, we did that probably 2 to 3 months in advance of actually starting development, which I didn't personally like. I would have liked to have been much more shorter time frame between the actual analysis and development, but it was a way to bring developers, testers, architects, DBAs into the conversation as early as possible and get their opinions. But it's all about kind of just trying to understand where you are right now and then keep on working at it to reduce that lead time.
So when you've got that large lead time, so because you do have to get lots of people in the room, and maybe it's the only opportunity to get them in there.
Yeah.
Okay, you do a design studio workshop and you capture your designs and things on big sheets of paper.
Yep.
But a lot of being business analysts is sometimes just ferreting out, right? Is reading documents, meeting different people, all those type of things. So the one question I always get is that, well, we need to record this stuff because we need to keep it, which is a valid point.
Yep.
But what tends to happen is you end up getting something that ends up looking like a specification document because there has to be some way of recording it. So do you have any tips and techniques for people so that we don't fall into that waterfall, let's go and get this document signed off type approach, even though you do have to go and talk to all the different stakeholders across the large organization?
Yeah, I guess one thing that worked quite well where I was working previously was that, we were very much traditional and people did sign off documents and big specification documents. And so what worked well was get them engaged and get them involved as much, as realistically as possible. So showcases ended up being a really good engagement piece because they could see along the way, here's what we promised that we're going to develop and here's the end product, and being able to show them along the way. And so over time it actually built up a lot of trust with our stakeholders to that we'd also have review sessions with them, and over time they stopped coming to review sessions and they came to the showcases, and my observation was that they started to build up trust with us and they didn't feel like they had to sign off a document and that was it. They realized that we came to them at points in time when it made sense to talk about something, get their opinion and get their expectations about it, and then be able to see the working product in a much more shorter time than what they previously would have.
What about the traditional BAs in those organisations though? Because that's the stakeholders and absolutely the agile approach of processing your showcase type idea really builds that trust.
Yeah.
But there is that fear I find in a lot of traditional business analysts that are like, but if I don't write this down, maybe I'm not seeing me doing anything.
Or
what if someone calls me into their office in a year's time and says, why did we make that decision?
Yeah.
So whilst code is always the best recorder, in my opinion, there still needs to be something left behind. So how do you deal with those arguments?
Yeah, sure. So I guess what we have done is we do document conversations in the form of acceptance criteria within stories, and then the level of detail depends on kind of your environment, your context. So sometimes you do go into quite a bit of detail if it's that they're quite pedantic of the level of detail that they do expect. So I suppose it's talking about that in a sense of, well, we're not just going to have post-it notes and photos of everything. It will be eventually documented in like a system like Jira to capture the acceptance criteria. But we were having a good conversation last night at a business analyst meetup about the tool is not the be-all, end-all. So the tool doesn't replace the conversations. It's a nice way to capture everything, but you still have conversations. And so it's recognizing that and, I suppose, trying to reinforce that tools are great, they serve a purpose, but actually talking to someone face-to-face, you're going to convey a lot more aspects of communication than just reading a document.
Yeah, awesome. So, you've been on this journey for a little while. For those that, I guess, maybe are entering the business analysis field, or those who are traditional business analysts, how do they start to become more agile aware? Do you have any tips and tricks for places or things they should go and take a look at?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose it depends on the individual, what kind of works well for you. So we all have different learning types, whether it's reading or hands-on doing. I'm very much a learn by doing. So I kind of just give things a go. But for most people, I would recommend trying to, at least a starting point, get on a agile project, kind of just jump into the deep end, but also have someone there as a sounding board, so kind of a mentor to kind of talk you through it, because there's going to be lots of conversations and questions and things you're unsure about along the way, and it's nice to have that kind of safety net as well. And then there's heaps of awesome kind of resources out there. There's plenty of great books that people can read. There's conferences like Yeah West, and we've got Agile Australia as well as a great conference. So it'd be trying to get as actively involved in, you know, some of those community aspects and just trying to leverage all of the resources that are out there. And then there's always lots of people out there in the Agile community that are more than willing to help, you know. So it'd be just trying to leverage whatever you have available to you to kind of start learning.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Because one thing I've found is that, I mean, there's lots of books out there. The Agile Testing has the Agile Testing book. And software development is ultimately software development, so it's your language of choice, and then maybe some things like extreme programming outside. But I found business analysis is one of those jobs that you actually have to go and read about 20 books in order to really get it, because you might want to read something like User Story Mapping by Jeff Patton that gives you a really good insight, but that's just one practice. And like you alluded to before, the business analyst often gets lumbered with things like the showcase, because, you know, they are that conduit. It's often a good way to, hey, this is what we talked about before, now here's what you can see afterwards.
Yep.
But how do you run a good showcase? Because there's no book called Agile Showcase, that's not I'm aware of, although it's mentioned in lots of books, obviously. So there's lots of things like that where I think it's hard for someone starting out who hasn't sort of, you know, seen the environment like you have. So it does require, there's not just a, you know, pick up this textbook and
type approach. And for me, that wouldn't work because I'm terrible at reading. So for me, it really is coming to conferences, going to meetup groups, and just talking to people, and then getting my hands dirty and actually just giving stuff a go. So, you know, giving it a try, and know that I'm not going to be perfect first time, but trying to learn from each opportunity, you know, where I am trying something new. Just keep on doing that and kind of reflecting on each time that you do something on how can you do it better.
Awesome. So what sort of things are coming along in the Agile community that's piquing your interest? What sort of things, you said you play around with stuff, so is there any new up and coming things that that you've been learning about that you're experimenting with or just keen to learn more about?
Well, the main one, and we've already kind of touched on this, is event storming. So I'm really keen to learn about that more. So hopefully before I fly out this evening, I can grab Paul and grab a coffee and just learn from him. So
we'll just listen to the Agile Revolution podcast.
Oh, of course. Talk about it, yeah. So that's a technique that I'm kind of now really interested in wanting to learn more about. And I've also learned about customer journey mapping, which is more, I suppose, more traditionally a user experience tool. But going through that quite recently at Monash University, that was quite a good kind of tool to add to the toolbox to really just understand what do our customers actually go through. And it's not just, you know, BAs or traditional BAs kind of default to doing a process map as well. There's a lot of kind of feelings that go along with some of the things we put our customers through. So trying to acknowledge that and then say, well, what can we do about it and how can we improve on it? So that's another one that I've learned about recently that I've kind of just given a go and thought that was quite useful.
Yeah, and I think you alluded to before, design thinking is the other one, even though it's nothing completely new, but I find for a lot of business analysts, you know, helps them really bridge that gap and gives you a bit of a workshop approach talking things, and bring also the ability to bring in the experience people at the same time, which would be extremely useful. Cool. Well, if people want to know more about you and what you do and all that kind of stuff, where can they find out more information, right?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Twitter, and if you can spell my last name correctly, you'll find me, or find me on the internet, because I'm apparently the only Ryan McCurgo in the world. So my Twitter handle is rmcurgo. You can also find me on LinkedIn. And yeah, just contact me through one of those two, and I'll be more than happy to get in touch.
Cool. If people want to know more about Elaborate, where do they find that?
Yeah, of course. So literally just go to elaborate.com.au or you know, follow us on Twitter or contact me, and I can tell you more about Elaborate.
Excellent.
More than happy to.
Well, it's great to see someone in the community, or, I mean, there's lots of people, but you're flying the business analysis flag, talking to conferences about it, and it's great to see, I think, you know, business analysis talk about it at the development conference as well, because it's kind of that often forgotten thing. So thanks for flying the flag.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Greg.